This evening's broadcast is the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, Walk in Holiness. This message is one in a series in which Pastor Grant examines from Scripture what is meant by the Apostle Paul's exhortation that Christians walk worthy of their calling in Christ Jesus. In the first part of the message aired last week, Pastor Grant showed from Ephesians chapter 5 how that worthy walk must be one of walking as imitators of God. Secondly, it also means seeking to walk according to one's new identity as a saint of God. This evening's broadcast picks up that point as Pastor Grant continues his very practical message, exploring what it means to walk worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus. So we invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and listen along with us as Pastor Grant concludes his message entitled, Walk in Holiness. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Let me give you three quick ideas this morning. How to battle with sexual sins and pornography. Number one, adopt a zero tolerance policy. You know, verse 3 tells us, but fornication and all uncleanness, let it not even be named among you. I like how the King James puts it. King James says, let it not be once named among you. King James saying, listen, have a zero tolerance policy. You know, sometimes people come to me in my professional life regarding how to get out of debt, and they have a lot of credit card debt. One of the things I usually say to them, after I give them instructions as to how to get out of debt, I say, listen, once you have paid off your credit card balance, make a commitment never to end a month with a balance. If you have to use that credit card 1 month, make sure you pay it off in full. Guess why? Because if you end up owing $200 this month, next month you say, but it wouldn't be a problem if I owe $300. And after a while you owe $1,000 and it's piling up little by little. So I'm giving you this free. This is free. This is free. You don't have to pay for this one. If you want to get out of debt, pay off them bills, pay off them credit cards, and from then on, make sure you never end a month with a balance, because if you do, it's going to grow. If you want to get rid of pornography and some of these temptations, don't say, well, it's only 3 shows I watch where I see naked nudity. Don't say, well, it's only 1 thing. Don't, listen, a zero tolerance policy. Jack Eckerd, founder of Eckerd Drugs, when he got saved, he had the second largest drug chain in America. And shortly after he got saved, Mr. Eckerd was walking through one of his stores, and he saw some pornographic magazines, and God challenged him about it. Mr. Eckerd called up the president of the company who he had hired. It's his company. The guy he had running it. Somebody in the church ought to remember this story because it was in our devotionals a few days ago. Mr. Eckerd picks up the phone, he calls up the president, he said, I want all pornographic magazines out of all 1,700 stores. He had some cash, 1,700 stores. The president said, Mr. Eckerd, we can't do that. He said, we can't do that. Mr. Eckerd, we make a $3 million profit just on those magazines, $3 million a year. Just on that, we cannot give up the $3 million. Mr. Eckerd said, I don't care about the money. I don't want any more books in my stores as of tomorrow. The very next day, pornographic magazines disappeared from all 1,700 Eckerd drug stores. I don't know if they're back since management has changed, but in his lifetime, they were gone. You see, Mr. Eckerd had become a Christian and he had adopted a zero tolerance policy. messy. And God is calling on you and I, if we are serious about battling this giant in our lives, God is saying, you and I need to adopt a zero tolerance policy. May God give each of us the wisdom to act on God's word. He says, let it not be once named among you. Not a little pornography, not a little fornication, not a little this. No, none. But secondly, guard your heart. So if we're going to battle this, we need to have a zero tolerance policy, but we need to guard our heart. We guard our heart not only by guarding what we watch. I'm really disturbed by how easy pornography gets into our hands and how accommodating we are. I was speaking to a parent, not in our church, so don't worry, start thinking. She was telling me how her son, you know, he was at home, and at that time it was about 7:30, and she said he's home alone, and she said he's home every evening by himself until we get home at about 9:30. He's 12 years old. And I said to her, Boyd, how you feel about that? She said, well, I know it's not very safe, but we have a good burglar alarm system. I said, well, I'm worried about something else. She said, what are you worried about? I said, a 12-year-old boy is so curious, and you are leaving him alone to explore pornography? She says, what's so wrong with that? She said, the young man needs to explore his sexuality. And so, of course, you can understand, we had a little dialogue. But I wonder if there's some parent like that here this morning. I want you to recognize, my friend, if that's your style of parenting, you are hurting your children much more than you ever believed. You know, when I was a teenager, we had a missionary from Britain, and he had done so much good work in Jamaica, and he would say to us young fellas, don't allow dirt through the eye gate. And I want to encourage you, whether you're young or old, don't allow dirt through your eye gate, because listen, these pornographic images, they make an imprint on the brain. And it is not easy to get rid of the imprint that has been made on the brain. And I tell you, as a result, we end up spending so much time counseling couples because pornography has started to hurt the marriage. And I want to encourage you, my friend, listen, don't allow your kids to get there. And listen, and so don't watch it yourself. I am scared to death that the Christian church is allowing cable and Netflix, and we watch these things without any reservation. It's time for us to say, that is not going to come in my house. Be very careful what you watch. Listen, the devil is trying to get us to forget that we are God's holy people. And may God help us that will always be centered when you decide what program you're going to watch. May that be your focus. God, I am your saint. I have been set apart for God. But listen, he warned us. He says, don't let dirt through eye gate. Don't let dirt through ear gate. And the text this morning is warning us, don't let dirt through mouth gate. Ephesians 5:4. Here's how it reads in the New Living Translation. It says, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are what? Are not for you. My friend, if you're a Christian, that stuff is not for you. Because guess what? It affects your heart. What you say is an impact on your heart. Did you realize that? And so what God is saying to us as we battle this giant, this devil who has gotten hold of so many of the world's communication systems and is trying to bombard us and is trying to make sure that we do not walk a holy life. God is saying, listen, guard your heart. Guard what you watch. Guard what you listen to. Guard what you say. May God give us the victory. May God give us the victory.
The third, listen,
three simple things from the text. Number one, adopt a zero tolerance policy. Number two, guard your heart. And number three, have a heart of thanksgiving. Some of these messages really take some time. Because I'm like, God, what in the world does this have to do with the price of rice? What does this have to do with sex? How does a heart of thanksgiving apply? Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. I want you to notice something. What does thanksgiving and covetousness have to do with anything? And then the Spirit of God showed me that one of the biggest drivers of sexual sin is covetousness.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. You've been listening over the last number of weeks to Pastor Brian Grant's series of messages on the worthy walk the Apostle Paul wrote up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Copies of all six messages are available on CD or DVD for a donation of $20. To order, please call 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550, or reach us online at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. You may also write to us at Germantown Christian Assembly, 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. Please include your full mailing address and be sure to specify CD or DVD. We thank you in advance for your interest. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Do you realize that one of the biggest drivers is a desire for what we don't have? The single person, they want someone, and so they desire someone, and the devil says, you know, you need to satisfy yourself. So, go ahead. You have needs. So I desire something I don't have, and so I fall into sin because of covetousness. But here's the funny thing. So I was single, and I wanted someone, and now I have someone. Guess what I do? I want someone else. And particularly, like how I have all these images on my mind. Are you with me? The pornography has put all these images on my mind. And all of a sudden, the image I want is this big man with all these muscles. And my poor little husband, he is so puny. And my poor little wife, she ain't whatever. Are you well understand what I'm saying? We have the image, and suddenly, although we thought once we got married, we'd be satisfied. No, we're not satisfied. We still covetous. We still want what we don't have. Can you see where God is coming from? The driver is covetousness. We all want somebody else, something else. So God says, stop thinking about what you don't have and start thanking God for what you do have. Let me ask you something. Has God given you anything? Has God blessed you? Oh, that was weak. Has God blessed anybody here this morning? Well, can we spend more time thanking him for what he has blessed us with, rather than worrying about the things that he has not chosen to bless us with at this moment? Can we say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul? Can you say, thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you shower upon me every day? God, I'm going to thank you. God, and I'm going to wait upon you. God, I'm not going to covet. I'm going to be a Christian who practices, who has develops a heart of thanksgiving. Glory be to God. To walk in holiness, to walk in holiness, we must not only seek to be imitators of God, we must not only seek to walk as saints of God, but thirdly, we must seek to walk as children of light. Children of light reveal God's light by their lifestyle. Put that in your notes. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. By our character and conduct, we bring God's light into a dark world. Folks ought to know they're with a saint. Are you with me? Folks ought to know we're different. Listen, I spent the better part of my teenage years as a Christian 007. I was the Christian James Bond. I was totally undercover. Most of the kids in class never knew or suspected I was a Christian. But then eventually I realized that God doesn't really need any secret service people. There is no job description for the secret service. Amen. God expects us all to walk as children of light. He expects us to live in such a way that the world will know that we belong to Jesus. Let me tell you, light makes a difference. And I tell you, you know, Brother Courage took me to Kenya. And I still, every time I think of things like this, I always think of this illustration that you've heard before. But, you know, when we went to Kenya for the first time, we were in a rural section and they had these termite hills. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know the termite hills were going to be taller than me. Here I am thinking I'm a tall guy. We opened our bedroom door that first morning because we arrived late at night. I walked over. It was a termite hill, a massive structure. And of course, everybody was excited. You know, they said, Brother Brian, it's going to be time for, soon be time for some good fried termites. Good fried termites. One day I'm going to bring you some, let you get some. So I wanted to know, so how do we catch the termites? Before we fry them, we got to catch them. Who's going to catch them? They said, you know, inside the termite hill is pitch black. And he says, when it's time to catch them, it's usually when there's hardly any moonlight. And so what you do at that very dark night, you take a lantern and you put the lantern in front of the termite hill. All the termites are attracted to the light. They all come from the darkness of the termite hill, and they all come to the light. Of course, as a preacher, you know, once I heard that, I know that could preach, amen. I know that could preach. And so here I am preaching it again. Because that's what God wants to do. God wants to use you and I. He wants us to be that one. He wants us to be his light. That, you know, people in darkness, we are all, they're all around us. Amen? Instead of going undercover, he said, no, don't go undercover. Uncover. Uncover the light. Let them see the light of Christ in you, so that they might be attracted to the true light,
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. May God help us. You know, God is calling on every one of us to do something this morning. For some, he's saying, it's time to show up. It's time to show that you are my light. But listen, children of light not only reveal God's light by their lifestyle, but children of light expose the works of darkness. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Listen, in our decaying world, there are going to be times that we'll have to make our voices heard. Amen. Some of us is going to be in our families. Some of us is going to be at work. Some of us is going to be in our community. For some, it's going to be in our nation. But listen, those of us who are children of light must recognize God has called us to expose the darkness. May God give us the courage and the wisdom to know when to speak up. But Ephesians 5:12 gives a caution. Paul says it's a shame even to speak of those things that are done in secret. Be careful not to become infected by the mess. A youth leader decided, in order for him to help his teenagers, he was going to start watching everything they read, they saw, and read everything they read, so that he could understand them better. Sadly, it polluted his mind, and he fell into sin. Be very careful of the mess. Listen, you don't have to do an autopsy on a corpse that has already is already corrupting and rotting. If it's rotting, forget about the autopsy. Just turn on the light. Everybody will see it's rotting. Amen. Don't feel you gotta learn up on every sin in order to help somebody. Just turn on the light and let God do his thing. My time is up, so let me close with a story, with an illustration. Suppose last night you had gone to one of them high-sididdy restaurants down in Center City, one of them high-priced places. I know some of you went, but for some of us, it's just imagination. But so we went down there, and you know, the hostess met us elegantly dressed, took us to our seat. You know, it was spectacularly decorated there, you know, finest bone china, beautiful teacups, shimmering, everything was beautiful. Oh, the waiter came with his tuxedo, and he came to take care of us, to pour us a cup of coffee. But when he turned over that cup of coffee, it wasn't shimmering on the inside. In fact, it appears that the last person who used the cup used it to drink some soup, because all of the crustiness of the soup was all in the bottom of the cup and all over the sides of the cup. And it obviously was a lady, because there was lipstick all over the inside of the cup. And the waiter, he saw the mess inside the cup, but he started pouring a most delightful smelling cup of coffee. The smell was amazing, the finest Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee. Send them a note that I just gave them some free advertising. Some fine Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee. Here's my question. Would you drink it? Would you say to the waiter, would you drink and say, this is some of the finest coffee I have ever drank? You say, definitely not. I see some of the ladies' faces. It's disgusting. I can hear them. It's disgusting. If you find that disgusting, why shouldn't God be disgusted that we are trying to serve him with a dirty cup? God is asking for some change this morning. For some of us, our cup has been dirty because of an unforgiving spirit. For some of us, it's dirty because of sexual sin and pornography. For some, it's dirty because our light is nicely covered. For some, it might be some other reason. But as God speaks to you, are you satisfied that you are serving God with a clean cup? If you're not, can I ask you to come to the only one that can clean? clean it up. If you are not a Christian, he wants to save you. He wants to scrub you thoroughly from the inside out. If you say, Lord Jesus, save me, he'll save you. But then there's somebody else, you're a Christian. God, I don't think my cup is clean enough. I confess. I commit. God, I want to walk holy. Father, help us now, from the preacher to everyone on the pew, that we may say, God, I don't think my cup is clean enough. And today, I'm making a new commitment to you. Today, I confess the areas that need work. God, speak to the heart of that person who is still unsaved. Bring them to salvation, we pray, for Christ's sake.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.